study. But as you and I were believers this morning, we should really see it and understand what the cross and the one who died on the cross is all about. I've made several copies here. I'm not sure that I have enough to go around, and so if you're family, husband and wife, perhaps you can share between you. We won't go through all of this because this study takes at least 4 weeks, maybe a little longer, but I'm going to try and get as much out of it as I possibly can to share with you while I'm here. So what I'd like to do is maybe one of you brethren can pass these around for me, share it around. I hope there's enough in there. But while he's doing that, you can turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there's just one verse of scripture that we want to read there, and we will get back to it shortly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Does this come up a little bit? No, I think that's as high as it goes. And before we do this morning, let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for this time that we can spend together. Thank you for the privilege that we have in being here with these dear ones in Spanish Wells. And I pray, O God, that you might take your word today and use me as an instrument of thine so that our hearts might be challenged afresh this morning and that, O God, we might recognize and realize the awesomeness of the one that we serve. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 18th verse. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Isn't that true? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. There's several sections in this that we want to look at, and the copies that you've been given, it says right at the very top, "For God so loved the world." That's the purpose of his coming. That's the purpose of the cross. That's the purpose of his dying. Thank you, brother. For those of you who didn't get, maybe we can make a couple more copies and get them to you because we'll be using these for the next couple of weeks. God loved the world. He gave his son. But the question this morning that we want to look at is, why did Christ have to die? Why? Have we ever thought about that? Why did Christ have to die? And furthermore, why on a cross? Wasn't there some simpler way, some easier way, some way that was not so gruesome and horrible and terrible? Well, we'll never know that answer. But he died. And the question there is, what was on his mind as he hung on that cross and he was dying? Well, there's a song that we sing, and I haven't heard it for a while, but it says, "While he was on that cross, I was on his mind." And that's a reason for it all. And that's the awesomeness about it. That while he was on that cross of shame, the awesomeness and the awfulness of it, the entire world was on his mind. He was dying because he loved us. For God so loved the world. I don't know if any of you have seen this new movie that's out, but there's been a lot of being said about it. There's been controversy. There's been a lot of good words about it and touched the hearts and lives of many people. I know it's in the Bahamas. It's been shown in Nassau, Freeport. And my brother went to see it in Jacksonville, and he said it's a tremendous movie. Tremendous. It really grips your heart and your soul. And you don't leave the place after you see it the same person as you were when you went in. And he said for 1.5 hours, it's 2.5 hours long, but for 1.5 hours, the awesomeness of the beatings and the suffering that Jesus paid is indescribable. Now, if men can bring it to that point, they don't realize the full extent. What do you think it really was like? What do you think it really was like that day? When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to that cross. I want us to think this morning very quickly on something that I think is very important, and it will get us thinking. It will get our minds on track. The symbol of the cross. We have symbols here in the assemblies. We come to breaking of bread. We have the symbol of the bread and the wine that represents the body of Christ and his blood that was shed. But what about the cross? What does that cross mean to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we ever really stop when we see a cross? And we see lots of crosses. As a matter of fact, the cross has become so commercialized and symbolized, and I'm sure you would agree with me, that it has lost its real meaning. There's no doubt about it. We see crosses hanging around necks on chains. I've seen crosses tattooed on the arms of men. I've seen t-shirts with crosses. We have churches with the crosses in our chapel in Marsh Harbor. There's a painting with a cross on the back, and I challenged our people when we went through that. When you walk in this chapel door and you look at that cross, what's on your mind? What do you think? And that's a challenge to you and I again this morning. When we see a cross, what does that cross mean? And I'll tell you, including myself, if we're all honest, we don't really think of it the way we ought to. Because it has become such a symbol of commercialism and what have you, it has lost its meaning. It has lost its meaning. The cross, my friends, has lost its meaning and its aura. The cross in that day when Jesus died was the means of capital punishment by the Romans. And as I was reading through this and studying on the history and the background of it, they only crucified on the cross the worst, now get this, the worst of their criminals. We need to think about that. They only crucified on that cross the worst criminals. So what does that say? That's saying to you and I that God, in the person of his Son, was classified as the worst of criminals when he was nailed to that cross. Beloved, that's awesome. It's awesome. And we as believers need to look at it that way. We need to look at the awesomeness of the cross. So oftentimes we look at the cross and we think it represents a symbol of love, a symbol of peace, and a symbol of whatever man wanted to be. But the cross was a symbol of shame and disgrace. And the more that I think of it and the more that I teach this lesson, the more it just burdens my heart to want to know more about the one that died. Of his love that he had for you and I. Of his willingness to bear that shame and to die. the torture on that cross is far worse than a hangman's noose, far worse than an electric chair. It's far worse than a firing squad. And you and I just can't begin to imagine the agony and the suffering of that cross. And so I say today, and this is why it's important that we remember this, that the cross should be to you and I as believers more than just a simple symbol. When we see it, wherever it is, whether it's in a chapel or on the outside or we have one around our necks, it really means something to us more than just a show. It means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on that cross. He died on that cross. So, the next thought that comes to mind is, what do people think of a cross? What do people think of a cross? What do you think of a cross more than as you sit here? What is going through your mind? What goes through our mind? What do we think of that cross on which Jesus died? Because that's where the symbol comes from. If it wasn't for that cross, there would be no symbol. There would be no need for a cross. There would be no need for you and I to be here this morning, gathered in this manner. We'd have no reason to be here were it not for that old rugged cross on which Jesus suffered and bled and died. On the very front page of that handout that I gave you, it says, could he not have accomplished more by living a full and a happy life? Why did a beautiful life have to come to such a terrible end? And those are the things that we need to ask ourselves. Yes, he could have lived as long as he wanted to and continued to do the many miracles that he wanted to do. Could have lived a beautiful life. Mind, his life wasn't all that beautiful because he says, he had nowhere to lay his head. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have nowhere to lay my head. And that was his life as he lived here in this world. But he was willing to suspend it all and after 3.5 years of ministry to die on that cross. And there are many varied opinions. You know, as I listened on TV and heard different people, they gave their opinions of what they thought this movie of Mel Gibson's was all about. And there were various opinions. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is about the cross. And I want to share 4 opinions with you that are basic opinions of the world. The first one says, it's an example of non-resistance. Some people feel that when Jesus died on the cross, he was giving us the ultimate example of how to live in a violent and hostile world. They say that his death shows us how to live successfully by being strong enough to let others have their way. Do you agree with that? That his death shows us how to live successfully by being strong enough to let others have their way. The other opinion is, it means whatever you want it to mean. Whatever you want it to mean. And that's probably the greatest opinion of all. Whatever you want it to mean. Those who take this approach generally believe that Christ did not actually accomplish anything when he died on the cross. Since it has become such a part of our awareness, it can be used to symbolize many different things. And we see that happening. We see that happening, but we've already talked about it as a symbol of a cross. The third high opinion is, it has no real meaning. It has no real meaning. And I'm sure that there are many people in our world today that feel that way. Oh, cross. Huh. It doesn't have any meaning. So what about it? Somebody died on there? What effect does it have in my life? It doesn't make any difference to me. I wasn't there. But oh, that's where we need to understand the reason behind it all. Some people say that the significance of Christ was in his life, not in his death.
They believed that he came to live in a flawless life on earth so that we could know what God is like. But that was all God sent him to do. His death, they say, was not related to his mission on earth.
I don't agree with that opinion at all.
It was not related to his opinion on his mission on earth. And last of all, it represents failure. Those who hold this view say that Jesus had a noble and a global plan for earth, but that he died before he could carry it out. And when he died, it meant that he failed. When he died, it meant that he failed.
I'm positive that you and I don't agree with that this morning. Those of us who know him as our Savior, because he's made a difference in our lives, because we know his saving power, because we know his joy and his peace in our hearts and lives.
But those are the opinions, the four great ones that they have been able to gather over the years. Examples of non-resistance. It means whatever you want it to mean. It has no real meaning. It represents failure. Truly today, we don't agree with that. Well, you know, there were those people at the cross that day who had various opinions as well. And perhaps you've never noticed it this way, but I want you to turn with me in Matthew chapter 27. And I'm going to read several verses, and I want you to listen. Listen at what Matthew writes there in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And I want you, as I read this, to think of how many different groups you see in this reading. And set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him or taunted him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. I go down to verse 51. Well, for the sake of time, let's go down a little further to verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children." There we have six different groups of people with six different opinions. I don't know how many of them you picked out of that reading, but I'll go through them briefly with you. The two thieves, one on either side of the first two. They had their own opinion about Jesus. The one thief refused to accept and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ could do something for his life. All he wanted to do was to get down off that cross and get back into society from which he had been taken. That's all he wanted. That was his opinion. As far as Jesus was concerned, he was just another man. He was just in the same predicament. And he wanted to get down off that cross. The second thief said, "Lord, I want to be with you today. There's something about this man." He said to the thief who didn't believe in him, "There's something about this man." And Jesus said to that one, "Today, thou will be with me in paradise." That thief recognized who he really was. That thief recognized that he could do something for him that nobody else could do. He recognized the dilemma that he was in, and he recognized that he needed a change of life, although he was about to die. And he believed with all his heart that this man on the middle cross could make a difference in his life. Beloved, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The man on the middle cross to make a difference in his life. Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." But then there was a third group. Those who passed by, as they were walking by, they were turning their heads and they were taunting him and teasing him. And what did they say? They said, said you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. And I can imagine, I can hear them now by the eyes of faith as they passed by and they'd listened to his many teachings and now they see him hanging on this cross of shame. The Son of God, he said he was, and he indeed was. They said, "If you're the Son of God, come down. Come down. Show us who you are. Show us that you can do it." And beloved, he could have. He could have. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have just annihilated everybody at that moment. Why didn't he do it? For God so loved the world. He loved even those people that were passing by and taunting him and daring him to get off that cross. He looked on them with a heart full of love and compassion. And I'm sure that he was saying within himself, "That's why I'm here. I'm dying for you. So that you might have an opportunity to know me in a personal way and to live with me someday." So that's the third group. They passed by. But then there were the chief priests, verse 41. They mocked him along with the scribes and the elders, and here's something else they threw at him. They said, "He saved others. Look at him. Look at him hanging there. He can't save himself. Now, can we believe him? Why believe a man like that?" Oh, you see, they were priests and elders by name only. Their hearts and their lives were far from him. They did not recognize the true God. They did not recognize the love of God. They lived their lives accordingly. They wanted to lord their authority over those around them. And they wanted no one over them. And they were not willing to accept Jesus Christ and to see him hanging on that cross. Because if you read in Deuteronomy, I think it is chapter 23 and verse 32, it says that for one to die on a cross, it's a shame. It's a shame. But this was God's Son. Dying in shame on that cross. Verse 43 says, he trusted in God let him deliver him now. And then notice something else that he says there. And I never really looked at this verse of scripture in the light of what it says. It says, if he will have him, in other words, he says, let God deliver him now if he will have him. In other words, if he's God's son and God loves him, he'll deliver him. He'll take care of him. But that wasn't the purpose. That was not the purpose. His purpose was to die on that old rugged cross. But then there's the fifth group. In verse 54, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus. You know, I can picture by the eyes of faith that Roman soldiers standing at the foot of Jesus. They had just nailed this man to the cross and he didn't say a word. They had dropped his cross into that hole. No, you and I cannot begin to imagine the pain. Yet he didn't say a word. And they looked at him. And the centurion, not a believer, a Gentile. But when he looked in the eyes of this one, there was something about him that he had never experienced in his life. Because from the eyes of this one, instead of sorrow, there was love. There was love. Instead of cursings and railings, he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I guarantee you, you and I wouldn't be saying that if we were there hanging on that cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They don't realize the love that I have for them. But thanks be to God, that centurion, as he stood there, he looked and he recognized. And he said, truly, this was the Son. He just saw something in him. He saw the same thing in his eyes and his face, and he believed him just as you and I have. If we know him today, we believe that he is indeed the Son of God. We believe without a doubt that he hung on that cross and that he suffered and he died in our room in our stead. And we accepted and acknowledged him as our Savior, and that's why we're here today. That's why we can sing our praises to him. Say we've been saved by his blood. Born again. Not of works lest any man should boast. But by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what it took for that centurion. By faith he believed that indeed this was the Son of God. And then finally there was another group. And in this group was his mother. It said, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And I can imagine the scene there with those women, because they loved him. They served him. They took care of him as he came into their homes and did so much for him. And it must have been a very difficult time for those. And they had their opinions as well as to why he was on that cross. And so, as we look at this morning in this light, was it an example of non-resistance why he died? The answer is no. Does it mean whatever you want it to mean? Well, the answer is no. But does it have no real meaning at all? The answer is no. Does it represent a failure? And the answer is no. Thank God, because I know my life has been changed because of it. And I know that there, and I trust all of you here who can say that my life has been changed because of it. No, beloved. There was a purpose and a plan. God's plan. They had their opinions. Each one different. For three groups of them, it made a difference. For the one hanging on the cross, his life was changed. For the centurion standing at the foot of the cross, his life was changed. For the women standing afar off, their lives were changed. Thanks be to God for you and I today who believe Him. We can say, our lives have been changed. Changed. Not because of what we have done, but because of what He did at Calvary on that cross. And that's why I feel it is so important, and I can't stress it enough, that when we look at the cross, we don't see it as just another symbol. But we look at it for what it really was. A place of horror, a place of sorrow, a place of pain. Now there might be those that say the cross demonstrates love. The cross did not demonstrate love. Jesus dying on the cross demonstrated love. The cross demonstrated sorrow, shame. God's own Son hanging there. My wife told me, and I didn't see it, and perhaps you'll notice it, but we were listening at someone interview the guy that played Jesus in this movie. And someone called in and asked him, said, what was the meaning of the drop of water that we saw? Now, there's no record of a drop of water being seen in the Bible here. And so he said to her, what do you think it was? And she said, I believe that it was a teardrop from God when he looked at his Son. And what he was suffering, hanging on that cross. And I want to see that. I want to see this movie. And I believe that they placed that teardrop there for a purpose, to remind us that although it was a cross of shame, yet God loved his Son while hanging there. God loved his Son. Wouldn't you and I love our Son? We're reminded of Abraham as Abraham was asked to take his son Isaac, his only son, and to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. He was willing to do it because he believed that God would again give him his son back. But he took that knife, and as he went down with the knife, God stopped him. And God provided a ram. Sacrifice. But I believe that in those moments of time, God knew that down in the future, his son, his only son, would die. And what an awful death. And so I ask this morning as I close, what do you think of the cross? And I pray today that it will help us to look at it in a different light. To see it. Every time we see it, I tell you the truth. Since I have been studying through this and teaching it, for every time that I've seen a cross, my mind goes back to Calvary and Jesus dying on that cross. And I believe that that's the way it should be for you and I. And then the thought comes to my mind, he died because he loved me. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have that hope in my heart and life that I have today were it not for Jesus dying on that old rugged cross. And I trust today that it might mean something to you and I. That it might just encourage us to learn to love him more. and to be more like Him each day. Lord willing, next week, we want to look at the second part of this, the offensiveness of the cross. You know, the cross is an offense to people. Now, people get angry when you start talking to them about the cross, oh, Jesus. And then there was a dilemma on the cross. Actually, there were two dilemmas that we're going to look at. God was faced with a dilemma, and man was faced with a dilemma at that cross. And we want to look at those areas as well. If you have time this week, those of you who have them, if you'd like a copy, I can have some more made. Read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Deuteronomy 21:23 is that verse of scripture that I've already quoted, where it's a shame to hang on a cross. I trust this morning that our hearts have been blessed, that we've been challenged afresh about the cross on which Jesus died. The hymn writer says, it's a shelter in which we can hide. His grace so free is sufficient for me. That's the beauty of it all. His grace so free is sufficient for me. And I trust that it is for you today. Shall we just bow with you to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the beautiful truth that we can gain from it as we allow you to speak to our hearts. And as we begin this morning looking again afresh at the cross and at the one who died on that cross, oh God, we pray that we as your people might be reminded more each day of how much you really love us. We can begin to comprehend the price that you paid. We can begin to comprehend the shame and the pain and the sorrow. And yes, as we've been talking this morning, perhaps there was a teardrop because you loved your Son with an everlasting love. You said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, but yet you were willing to place our sins upon Him and allow Him to die on that cross. Father, may we love you more each day. Encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. And thank you for your attention this morning.